May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The internet has changed the way that people relate to each other. There are a multitude of websites where people tell of their personal experiences, seek answers to their questions, or seek help for their problems. There are discussion forums where people can comment on anything and everything from politics and religion to personal relationships. People relate to others' struggles and hope to find the advice that they desire. New communities are formed with people on various websites. While the internet has changed the way people communicate with each other, one thing that hasn't changed is our human need to interact with other people. In days past, before the internet, texts and mobile phones, people would write letters. And in St. Paul's time, the most effective way of communicating with people was by letter. So it comes as no surprise then that when the Corinthian church began experiencing problems, they wrote to Paul, seeking his advice and hoping that he could offer solutions to their difficulties. Reading Paul's letter to the Corinthians is like reading someone's mail or listening to a one-sided telephone conversation. While we don't know the specifics of the problems that the church in Corinth were experiencing, we can glean an insight from Paul's response. The Corinthian congregation presented Paul with several major challenges. Corinth was a thriving economic centre inhabited by people from all over the Mediterranean world. It was also a major port that was filled with all sorts of vices. And there were people who were well off, and there were others who were poor. It doesn't take too much imagination to realise that amid such diversity, problems would soon ensue with this church. And sure enough, serious problems arose that threatened their unity and purpose. There was one group of people within the church who thought too highly of themselves. They thought they possessed superior spiritual gifts, that in their mind made them better than everyone else. And the result was that feelings were hurt, sides were drawn, and conflict erupted. The leaders wrote to Paul, hoping that he could solve their dilemma and set them back on course. Paul began by affirming the people who were dealing sensitively with the issues at hand. Paul's goal was always to build up the church and never to tear it apart. To the church of God, that is in Corinth, Paul wrote, reminding them that they're called by God to be saints. And Paul gives thanks for them. Even though they were experiencing some differences of opinion, Paul was reminding them that they needed to continue working together to accomplish God's desire and purpose. Paul urges them to pause, to see the bigger picture of what God was calling them to do, and to cease their petty disputes. And it's the same for all of us here today. We're all part of the church of God, the body of Christ. We too are called by Jesus to be the church, and the church is the extension of the ministry that Jesus began. We're the hands and the feet of Jesus. We care for those who are struggling, oppressed, homeless, or lonely. We speak words of assurance to those who are confused or who struggle with issues of faith. As Paul points out, the purpose of the church is to join in God's mission. We're planning a mission event in our town in just a few months, and every member of the Anglican Church in Horsham is called to be part of this. In a recent broadcast, and again in his New Year address, the Archbishop of Canterbury made the point that the church needs to grow, and growth doesn't just happen. Growth requires hard work, and it's important that we all put effort and energy into our mission. Every one of us is called to take part in and tell others about our mission to proclaim the gospel, using whatever means of communication is available to us, whether it be social media, letter, or word of mouth. In the same way that mission and growth require effort and commitment, so too does unity. And unity plays a very important part in mission. When I first moved to Horsham, one of the things that I found to be extraordinary about the church in this town was the unity of purpose that existed across all the different denominations, and how this had such a positive impact on the mission of the church. The psalmist writes, "How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It's like precious oil poured on the head. It's as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore." Sometimes we lose sight of the purpose of the church, and we think it's all about us, our personal likes and dislikes, when in fact, the church is called by God and primarily exists for the sake of others, particularly those who don't yet know Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. Like the Corinthians, we, together with every member of Christ's church, need to focus on our common goal. God has called us together at this unique moment in time for a reason. Paul uses the word sanctified, which means set apart for God's holy purpose. We're set apart and marked as God's own people and are here for a reason. We have much work to do. God, through Jesus Christ, forms our identity. And within this larger context, whatever differences we might have will fade away as we become excited about our mission and ministry. This week is the week in the year when we focus on and pray for unity in the church. And this evening, when we come together for the service of unity, it would be lovely if St. Mary's was packed with all our brothers and sisters in Christ in Horsham. And this coming week, I'd encourage all of us to attend as many of the prayer meetings in the different churches around our town. There are bookmarks at the back of church, and Maureen will be handing them out at the door at the end of this service. These give details of the times and venues of the daily prayer meetings. We're called to encourage one another, and it's very disheartening if you open your church, provide hospitality, and prepare a time of worship if there are only a couple of people there and they happen to be members of your congregation already. Paul offered a prayer of thanksgiving to God for each person in the church in Corinth, in spite of the problems they were encountering. Similarly, we need to follow Paul's example and pray for and with all our brothers and sisters in Christ, thanking God for their witness. We experience God's grace in our lives when we respond to Jesus' call upon our lives. Grace also continues to sustain us in our daily walk with Christ and has a transforming element to it. Grace can change and transform our lives, making us more and more like Jesus each and every day. Spiritual gifts, indeed all our gifts, come from God and aren't of our own device. They're meant to be shared and used to build up the church. What Paul wrote to the Corinthians could very well be said to us. We, like them, have all the gifts we need for ministry in our community. The focus is on discovering and using our God-inspired gifts in concert with other believers to build up the body of Christ, the church. This will lead to the transformation of our community, our nation, and ultimately our world. We need to remain focused on what we are as the church, keeping our vision and mission of proclaiming the gospel of Christ ever before us. Amen.